Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, the scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in Leviticus, beginning with chapter 5, verse 14, through Leviticus 6, verse 7. The 14th verse of Leviticus 5 through the 7th verse of Leviticus 6. And let us first sing from Psalter number 67, stanzas 2 through 5. Lord, remember in thy love all thy mercies manifold, tender mercies from above, changeless from the days of old. 2 through 5 of Psalter 67. Thank you.
Before we read from Leviticus 5, beginning by verse 14, we will read the holy law of the Lord. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with thy estimation by shekels of silver, after the shekel of the sanctuary, for a trespass offering. And he shall make amends for the harm that he had done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereto, and give it unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. And if a soul sin and commit any of these things, which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, yet is he guilty, and shall bear his iniquity. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation, for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance, wherein he erred and wist it not, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He hath certainly trespassed against the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or had deceived his neighbor, or have found that which was lost, and lied concerning it, and swear it falsely, in any of all these that a man doeth, sinning therein, then it shall be, because he hath sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he had deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he had sworn falsely. He shall even restore it in the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation, for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he had done in trespassing therein. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we may hear in these very moments of that sin which a man sinneth against thee, and that sin wherein a man sinneth against one another. Lord, thou sayest it in thy word, revealing unto us what we have become in our deep fall. Because by nature we do not see or know our sin, then we experience our misery. We experience the consequences of our sin, but we do not know the cause. Lord, then it needs also to be revealed unto each and every one of us in a personal way. Thou revealest it in thy word that comes to our ears, that enters into our minds. But we cannot give unto ourselves that sorrow because of it. And this we ask of thee in this morning hour, when thou gatherest us together once again in thy house of prayer upon thy holy day. Lord, then it is a great privilege that is withheld from so many. But thou sayest that thou wilt labor among us in the bringing of thy word. Lord, then for all these things we will have soon to give an account, because soon we have to stand before thee. Soon we have to give an answer for all that thou hast labored among us, for every word that thou hast brought unto our ears, and for which we have shut out our hearts, that we have closed our hearts, and that we have said unto thee, we will not have this man to rule over us. Lord, how great shall be that judgment upon us and upon our children. And we cannot affect ourselves with it, but it belongeth, O Lord, unto thee, and to whom all power is given in heaven and in earth. And thou sittest at the right hand in this day of power, and thou canst but speak the word to send forth thy Holy Spirit. Oh, then in a moment he shall also come among us to go up and down among us, to go in and out amongst the pews, and to give unto us what we need to bring thy word, to fill us with that Holy Spirit that may raise a dead man unto life, that may give a renewal of the heart, that may plant new affections and new longings, new desires, new hungerings and thirstings after the true and the living God. O Lord, what man is able to change his heart? And there is no man that has power over death. And there is no man that is stronger than the prince of darkness, and that is able to release ourselves from his grasp. O Lord, for this we are so dependent upon thee. Oh, could it please thee then to remember us with our dear children in the days in which we are living, and when the last times are come upon us, and when Satan goes forth as seeking whom he may devour, and that by the sin and wickedness in an outward way, but also by way of deceit, that by the deceiving of souls, even bringing, as we can read in thy holy word, thy own word, but then never in truth and in righteousness. O Lord, then our hearts are also so deceitful above all things and so desperately wicked, and that we are so inclined to give unto him our ear. O Lord, wilt thou stop us in our mad career? Wilt thou turn us again? Wilt thou hinder us upon our journey? Wilt thou not permit our miserable and wretched desires to be fulfilled? Wilt thou stand in our way, even as thou hast stood in the way of a Balaam of old, that he could not continue, and yet, Lord, thou didst permit him to continue, so that he was in the end destroyed? Oh, then we beseech thee to remember us with our children. Oh, that we may come to know what our sin is. And then especially in these weeks wherein we may consider the suffering of thine only begotten Son. Lord, then there was a cause, for he suffered not for his own sin, but he has suffered for the sin of his church. Oh, that it may also be for our sin, that we need to come to know what that is. Oh, Lord, do it then for thy name's sake, and work thou mightily amongst young and old. Give that the old knees may be bent, that also the young hands may be folded, that the need may be bound upon our heart. While we are still traveling upon this earth, and that thou may remember also thy own children. For when thou hast given that life, thou also must sustain it. Thou also must feed that which is hungry, and give drink to that which is thirsty, that thou may look upon them also in this day. Lord, give to us what we need to feed thy people. For thou knowest that we have not wherewith to feed them. But thou who hast multiplied the loaves, thou art able to do so also for us. Oh, that we may have but to speak what thou givest unto us, that we may have but to hand out that which thou wilt multiply, that there may be food and drink for each and every one, that thou may look also upon the afflicted and all the needs and the cares that are experienced in this world, which are so very many. The young boy who suffers pain in his body, that thou may remember him in thy mercy and do give solution to this case, where the doctors, they often do not know. Lord, strengthen the parents and that family together, and others also that are afflicted. Thou knowest where they are in mind and in body, that thou may supply doctors, nurses, therapists, and all counselors with what is necessary, that all the needs of this life may be fulfilled. But that in all these things, that we may be drawn to thy footstool, that the cause of our misery may be felt and experienced, and that it may be sorrowed over, and that thy dear Son, as the great physician, and may become necessary, precious, and suitable unto each and every one of us. Remember all thy servants of our sister flock here in this area. Wilt thou look upon him and strengthen him also in this day? And further, as is necessary, to go before his congregation and us also, in all the weakness of our body, Lord, could it please thee to strengthen us again and to raise us up to do our work? Wilt thou supply for all those that labor in thy kingdom, the student and all those that instruct him? Oh, we beseech thee for that instruction from above, for each and every one that must instruct others, and that must be instructed, and that thou would give thy word free course over the length and the breadth of the earth. Wilt thou give that heathen and Jew may be brought to thy footstool? Wilt thou look upon all the needs of nation and people? Wilt thou look also upon those who do send forth thy word into the different languages of this world? Then we also may receive an offering for them in this day. O Lord, that thou may bless them, and wilt thou prosper them, and wilt thou bring thy word unto those who have never heard it. Give us heart that may beseech thee also for this cause, that thou may look upon us in this morning hour. Lord, without thy presence and without thy spirit, then it will be cold, it will be dry, and then it will be but for our minds for a little consideration in this morning hour. But when there may be a need, oh, when there may be a hunger and a thirst, then there also will be meek ones that may eat and may be satisfied. Oh, that thou may do so for the name, for thy great and holy name's sake in this hour. Forgive, we beseech thee, all of our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 143, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. O God, according to thy grace, be merciful to me. In thy abounding love, blot out all my iniquity. O wash me wholly from my guilt, and make me clean within. For my transgressions I confess, I ever see my sin. Psalter 143, stanzas 1, 2, and 4, and the last collection today is for the Trinitarian Bible Society.
Thank you.
Beloved congregation, the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ was foreshadowed by the dissension of Joseph into the land of Egypt. In the day that he was sold by his brethren, that dissension that was for him a way of suffering, and that way wherein he had to travel, that would one day be for the provision of every need of all of his brethren. They were many needs, but that would be for their protection. That would be for their preservation. That way of suffering that would make for them that all the good of the land of Egypt would be theirs. The needs of God's children are not one. No, the needs of God's children, they are many. Because there is guilt. Because there is corruption. Because there is debt. Because there is ignorance. Because there is weakness. And we can go on and on. And now it is the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is for the provision, not of one, but it is for the provision of many, yes, of every need in the life of his children. And we see this already in the Old Testament. We see this already in the provision that the Lord has given. In the way of the ceremonial law, we see this even in those sacrifices that we have begun to consider together, and we wish to continue to do so with the Lord's help in this morning hour. Our text can be found in Leviticus chapter 6, and thereof the first 7 verses, Leviticus 6. Verses 1 through 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, If a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or have found that which was lost and lieth concerning it, swearing falsely in any of all these that a man doeth, sinning therein, then it shall be, because he hath sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he hath sworn falsely, he shall even restore it in the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation, for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. And it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespassing therein. So far, the words of our text, the trespass offering. First, the circumstances of this offering, or we will say, boys and girls, when that had to be, that a trespass offering was required to be brought. Second, the requirement and purpose of this offering, why it had to be brought and what had to be brought with it. And third, the antitype of this offering, or that is, unto whom this offering that is pointing. And thus, the trespass offering, first, the circumstances, second, the requirement and purpose, and third, the antitype of this offering. We have heard congregation of two altars. One was in the court, one was in the holy place. That was the altar of burnt offering and the altar of incense. We have heard that there were several types, four main types of offerings. That was the sin offering, the trespass offering, the whole burnt offering, and the peace offering. There were some others. We hope also in their proper place to consider also something of them. It is good for you, children, if in these weeks that you may read something out of God's holy word in the book of Leviticus, in the book of Numbers, in the book of Deuteronomy, and you can read about the ceremonial laws. You can read about the offerings that were required of the Lord. And you hear it not only in the church, but you can read it also for yourself. And then you may learn something, but that you also may have a cry in your heart unto the Lord, and that the Lord would give you a need also for these offerings. Last week, the sin offering. This week, we said we hope to consider the trespass offering. Those offerings were very much related to one another, because both of those offerings, they were non-sweet savor offerings. They were those offerings wherein a broken relationship was presumed between God and man. They were those offerings that were necessary for the restoration of this relationship. It is not difficult to set those two offerings, the sin offering and the trespass offering, apart from the burnt offering and the peace offering. However, it is not so easy to distinguish between these two offerings. To ask ourselves what was now the difference between the sin offering and the trespass offering. And that is makes it especially difficult, because sometimes, for example, in the beginning of Leviticus 5, the first 13 verses, then sometimes you read the word trespass or even trespass offering. But when you read further, it is actually speaking about the sin offering still. And so that the trespass offering proper that is being spoken about in those verses that we have read to you, beginning in the middle of that chapter, in verse 14 and going on until the seventh verse of Leviticus 6. There were five different instances wherein the trespass offering was required from the children of Israel. Three of those instances have been read to you, and others we can find in other places in the Bible. What is that first instance that we read of here? Well, we read that they were required to bring that offering when there was a trespass against the holy things of the Lord. Thus, when there was a breach of trust, when they have secretly attempted to withhold from the Lord that which was due unto him. Idolatry was itself such a withholding of that honor and that worship that was due unto him. But we read here in a special way of stealing from the Lord. We know, children, that Achan did that, because we can read of Achan that he committed a trespass in the accursed thing. What is that? The accursed thing. That was a thing on which was placed the ban. The ban. That is, that gold and that silver of that city was banned from the use of any man. Because that was to be holy unto the Lord. That was only to be used in the service of the Lord. That was kind of a first fruits of that which the Lord was going to give unto them when they may have their conquest in that land of Canaan. And now we read here of the holy things of the Lord, the holy things of Jehovah. And what were they? Well, they had to bring their first fruits of their harvests. The children of Israel were required to bring their tithes, their sacrifices, their gifts, and to present them unto the Lord. And when a man had secretly tried to withhold these things that were due unto the Lord, then that was one instance wherein when that became known, or that he came to a repentance, that man was required to bring a trespass offering. In the second place, we read of any sin that is against any of the commandments of the Lord, any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of Jehovah, that is, a sin against any of the Lord's statutes, his precepts, his commandments. In the third place, we read about a transgression that was done against their neighbor. The example is given here of a theft. And then they have stolen something, and or maybe they have just found it, boys and girls, and they knew who that belonged to, but they did not give it back to him. And then when it was asked of them, maybe they lied about it. Maybe even lied about it under oath before the judge. That is perjury. And then they were commanded to bring this trespass offering. We read also in Leviticus 19 of fornication with my neighbor's slave. That was, of course, adultery, but it was more than adultery. It was also an invasion of the property of my neighbor, because the slave that was considered to be the property of a man. In the fourth place, we read in Leviticus 14 about the case of a leper. And when a leper was cleansed, then there had also to be brought a trespass offering. And in the last place, we read of the case of a Nazarite that had been separated unto the Lord, and when he had been defiled by a dead body, then he had also to bring a trespass offering unto the Lord. Thus we have these five cases laid out for us in the Word of God. We say that it's not so easy now to distinguish between that sin offering and that trespass offering. There are several distinctions. They are made in a more general way. They are not perfect distinctions. That one distinction is this, and we heard something about it already, that sin offering, and that has more to do with the entire person, that is, that person is himself a sinful man, that he is full of sin. But we do not read this of the trespass offering that had to do more with a particular sin, with a particular transgression. That sin offering, and that was also more personal in this respect, that it was more concerning sin that would affect a person himself. That is the guilt of my own sin. But that trespass offering, that was more communal. Thus, the trespass offering that was looking more at how that sin that did affect someone else, how it affected my relations, how it affected my fellow man, how that sin that was a sin against God. Sin, congregation, that affects our relations, our relation to God, our relation to our fellow man. It damages our relations. Sin separates between persons, separates a man from the blessed communion with God. Oh, how awful. How awful are the consequences of sin. Do you feel that? When there is sin, and when now there is a breach between me and my fellow man, when there is sin, and you feel it to be the cause of that breach between God and your soul, our sin, that affects others. How? There were little children in Sodom. And those little children, they were slain with the men of that city. They had not sinned as those men. And yet they were included in that sin. Therefore, the Lord, he has by times also required of the children of Israel a sin offering for that entire nation. You and I are included in the sin of our nation. That is why our cry also ought to be against the sins of our nation. Because then we are especially guilty. when we are saying nothing, and when we are bringing upon ourselves by also our silence, guilt, so that we will be destroyed with our nation. Our sin affects others by our examples. That is our sins of commission, young people. What we do. And we show an example to our friends or to little children. That is also parents, our sins of omission. What we are omitting to do, then what an example that we are to our children, that they would continue on in our sins of vanity, of carelessness. But there are other sins. They are affecting persons in a more direct manner. There are those sins that affect directly the rights of our neighbor. We spoke a little bit about rights a little while ago. That a man has rights. That is not before God. Those we have forfeited. But from God. Before one another. Those that are given to each one in a personal way and which we have no business taking away from our neighbor. Thus, the right to our life. Thus, the right to our property, etc. And now that trespass offering that had in a very special way to do with the invasion of the rights of another person. The infringement of those rights. And not only another person, but also of God himself. Thus, when we consider a little bit those examples again, in the first place we said that it was in those holy things. That the Lord, he had a right to his holy things. The Lord, he has given so much to us, and he withholds a little bit, he claims a little bit of that for himself. And that is now his right. That is his. Thus it was with those first fruits. Thus it was with those tithes. Thus to secretly hold them back, that was to withhold from the Lord what was his right, what belonged unto him. That had also to do with the transgression of any of the commandments of the Lord. That to sin against the Lord, the least of his statutes, the Lord, he has a right to our obedience. That is his due. Because he is our maker, because he is our creator. And he has given us so much. But he says, now you must walk in obedience unto me. We saw that sin offering that had to be offered also in transgression of the rights of our neighbor. When I have taken from him what God has given unto him, and when God has given it unto him, he has not given it unto me, and thus he has a right to it, and I do not have a right to it. There was also the case of the leper, and there was the case of the defilement of the Nazarite, which is a little different because that had to do with the restoration of those rites, those communal rites, that is to bring them once again into the way of their communities. Thus, the sin offering that had to do with the guilt of sin, that is upon myself. But the trespass offering that had to do with the damage that sin is causing, how that I have affected somebody else. The original name for that trespass offering that is speaking about an act of defrauding the rights of my neighbor. And in turn, when I have defrauded the rights of my neighbor, I have also defrauded God himself, because he is his creator. David infringed on Uriah's right to have his own wife that was from the Lord, and his right to his own life that was also from the Lord. And yet David, in his lamentation for his sin, he said, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned." Not that he did not sin against Uriah, but that sin against the Lord, because he had sinned against Uriah. Thus, by those sins, we make ourselves guilty. But congregation, we see here, we make ourselves also something else. And what is that? That we make ourselves a debtor. A debtor. Because when we have stolen something that belongs to somebody else, then something is required. Something is required. What is required, children? Well, that is now the distinguishing characteristic of that trespass offering. That is what we see in our second thought, the requirement and the purpose of that offering. Then it shall be, because he hath sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he violently took away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he had sworn falsely, he shall even restore it in the principle. Thus, what is required? Restoration of that which he took. Restoration of that which he had stolen, and that belonged to someone else by a God-given right. Thus, by that sin, that man, he became a debtor. A debtor. A debtor to his neighbor. And as long as he had not yet given this back, he still owed him something. And not only so, but we read, "And shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth." We would say he has to give it back with principle for the trouble that he has caused unto him, for the disruption that he has caused in his life. Thus it was not enough for him to say, "I am sorry." No, he had to make restitution, restitution. And that restitution, that had to be made first, before that he brought his trespass offering. Thus, that sorrow that had to be shown in his deed, that deed would reveal the genuineness of that sorrow, of that repentance that he is expressing. That is the same today, that confession in the church that is not the first. No, something of that genuineness first, of that repentance that must be seen, that must be felt. If there is no restitution, if there is no attempt at restitution, then we must judge that confession that is nothing but hypocrisy. Of course, in the Old Testament, it was a theocracy. And then the civil matters and the ecclesiastical matters, and they were all taken care of. But that is, of course, not so today, that we are dealing with both, because the civil matters, that is the matter of the magistrate, and the ecclesiastical matters, they are the matters of the church. And yet the order, that is still the same. And he shall restore it in the principle, and shall add the fifth part thereunto. Without restoration, then there remained a breach. But it was by that restoration now that that relation between those persons that is again being restored. You can understand that, right, boys and girls? When you will take something, hey, and then your mother will say, well, now you must give it back again. And when you have given it back again, well, then there can be a restoration of that relation between you and your brother, between you and your sister. But that man, he was not yet finished. He was not yet finished when he has made restitution and added the fifth part thereunto unto his neighbor. No, we read something else. The Lord adds to it. He says, and he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord. Why? Well, that sin offering was because that sin that was not only against his neighbor, but that was also against the Lord, who has a right to our obedience and to our living according to his commandments, in peace with our neighbor. And thus, boys and girls, it is not enough when you have made it well between you and your brother or your sister. Then we don't need just to be forgiven by one another. But then you must also go on your knees, because we also need to be forgiven by the Lord. Because then we have sinned against the Lord. But when we have sinned against the Lord, how can we make restitution for this? The Lord says that you sin against me when you sin against your neighbor. The Lord says you sin against me when you trespass any one of my holy commandments. And now, how can a person, congregation, pay back the Lord? Is that possible? Well, when he has withheld, of course, those offerings, when he has withheld his tithe, his first fruit, then he must bring it with the fifth part thereof. But there were things, you understand that could never be paid back unto the Lord. Why not? Because they are things that cannot be valued with money. How can we value with money a trespass against any one of the commandments of the Lord? There are things, congregation, that we cannot pay back to our fellow man. If we rob him of his good name by our gossip, and by not hiding, covering their sin. And that good name, the Lord says, that is of more worth than many riches. How can we get that back for him? That is like taking a pillow that is full of feathers, and we will open it up to the wind. And when we will try to get them back again, all those little feathers, then you understand, congregation, it is impossible. Then you say, how is it possible that we can make restitution for this unto our neighbor? If I cut off his arm, I cannot give it back again. The Old Testament, the Lord said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. No, not that it had to be, but it could be insisted upon. There was apparently a way of redemption also for that, because the Lord, he also says that for the life of a man, there was to be no redemption. There was to be no price paid for that except for his life. And then it can be inferred that there was sometimes a redemption paid for the loss of his arm, or for the loss of his eye. But congregation, that could never be given back again, of course, and there are so many things that we do against one another that can never be given back. But now, how is that with the Lord? Because how can a man make restitution, congregation, for his sin, when he has sinned against his neighbor and thus against him? When he has sinned against any of the commandments of the Lord? What do we read then? He shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock. With thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. And it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespassing therein. He had to bring a ram. What was that? Was that now a payment? Was that now something the Lord says that has equal value? That is now giving it back to me in the principle thereof. Oh, congregation, you understand that is not so, because there is no comparison. The value of that animal and that sin against the Lord. What is the Lord saying it when he says you must bring a ram? Do you know what he says? This is his testimony. He says, your sin against me, there is nothing that you can do to repay me for it. Nothing. Because that sin that is against my holy majesty, that sin that is against my goodness, that sin that is against my long-suffering, that sin is against receive mercies. And what shall now you bring that is of the same worth unto me than your obedience? To obey that is better than sacrifice. Oh, that ram that was no payment, that was a testimony in the first place that the Lord says you cannot pay. And in the second place, that is a testimony from the Lord that he says, I am going to send one who is going to pay. I am going to send one who is willing to pay. I am going to send one who is able to pay. And that was a testimony how he was going to pay it. That he was going to pay it by sacrifice. Thus, that ram that was accepted that was accepted by the Lord from that people to make restitution by that ram or that sinner. And then he is testifying also unto the Lord that he cannot pay. And the Lord is receiving it to bring that man back into a good relation unto him. He receives it. No, he does not receive that lamb, but he is receiving the antitype. What that lamb is pointing unto, that is our last thought. Let us sing first. 83. How blessed is he whose trespass hath freely been forgiven, whose sin is wholly covered before the sight of heaven. Blessed he to whom Jehovah imputeth not his sin, who hath a guileless spirit, whose heart is true within. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 83. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock. With thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him. For anything of all that he hath done in trespassing therein. Congregation, when the disciples asked the Lord Jesus to teach us to pray, then he gave them an answer. And he said to them, you must say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And now that trespass offering that has everything to do with the debt and everything to do with the forgiveness of that debt and the restoration that is taking place and by the forgiveness of that debt, if we are able to pay our debts, then we must pay them. Then we must pay them to God and to man. But congregation, is there now a people that are not able to pay them? Because forgiveness of a debt, you understand, that is not for rich people. Forgiveness of debts, that is for poor people. Forgiveness of debts, that is for people that are not able to pay their debts. Of course, there is not a man of us that is able to pay what we owe unto the Lord. Not one. But congregation, how few know this by way of experience. Or we increase our debt every day. What we owe unto the Lord, we are robbers of God. We rob him of his honor. Do you believe that? Oh, how we can leave the Lord so easy in his place. How was it this week? Look over it a moment. Did you need him? Did you need his wisdom when you had to make a decision? Or had you enough wisdom of your own? Did you need his might? Did you need his power? Or could you fulfill everything in your own strength? Did you need his grace? Did you need him for his mercy? O congregation, you understand, we are robbers. We are robbers of the honor of the Lord. We are robbers of his day. Young people, what will you spend a day in today to be doing? When we will read all kinds of other books, speak all kinds of other words, have all kinds of other thoughts, when the Lord says, one day, 6 days, you may do your work. One day, that belongs to me. And now we are robbers of the Lord. We rob him of our goods. What do we do with it all? We asked for it this week. If the Lord may give it to us this season. But then we want to rob it from him. Is it to serve him with? We rob him of our strength because he gives it to us. And then we serve the world with it. Was that ever your grief? Was that ever your sorrow? We rob him of our time because our time that belongs to him. Or we rob him, congregation, of our heart. We rob him of our love that all belongs to him. We rob him in thoughts. We rob him in words. We rob him in deeds. We rob him by sin of omission. We rob him by sin of commission. We rob him knowingly. We rob him carelessly. Oh, what a debt. What a debt that every day that we are adding for ourselves, so that soon when we appear before the throne and before our creditor, then he is going to ask after all these things. And not only so, but that debt that is inherited, just like riches. Because when you receive an inheritance, then all the debts, they come too. And those debts, they have to be paid out of that inheritance. And now we have also received a debt from our father Adam. Was that ever also your experience? And your grief, congregation, that ram is a testimony from the Lord. And that ram is a testimony that says you are not able to pay that debt. Is that also your experience? Because if the Lord converts us, then we will want to pay that debt. Even in the full principle, we will try to pay that debt. You can be sure of it. And our heart, that will want to add the fifth part there too. Oh, then we have so much love and so much desire that we would want to give everything unto the Lord. And you know what we don't see? We don't see the need for that ram. No. But that ram that becomes precious, that ram that becomes necessary, when the Lord is bringing a man to the end of his ability to make restitution for that debt. And then the Lord is opening something that is congregation to that man so beautiful, that is so precious. David, in Psalm 69, he speaks about that ram and he looks forward to that time and that that ram was going to come. And what does he say concerning that ram? Then I restored that which I took not away. That was now that ram. In what state did he restore it? That was in the state of his humiliation. In his passive obedience, then we can read that he has taken upon him the curse. Do you ever feel that curse? why the curse, the Bible says why the curse is. It says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. And when a man's eyes are open to behold the curse, O congregation, how his eyes need to be opened to behold that ram that has carried away that curse. That was by his passive obedience and by his active obedience, then he has fulfilled every jot and tittle of that law on behalf of that people. In that human nature, why? All that was to pay, to bring back, to give God back again what was due unto him. That was that perfect obedience by you and by me. By you and by me. And if that now all could have been done by us, why would God have laid this upon his only begotten Son? No. The giving of that ram, congregation, that is a testimony of God himself that it is impossible. Impossible. Where is now that people for whom it is impossible? The psalmist, he says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O God. If thou shouldst mark transgressions, O Lord, who shall stand? Who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. If a soul sin, he shall bring his trespass offering, a ram without blemish. Without blemish. That is without blemish, not before you and me, but that is without blemish before the holy countenance of his Father. That there is not a single transgression, not in thought, word, and deed. Oh, therefore it is possible that he says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? He says, then come and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Oh, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. O congregation, then this also will follow when it is right. No, that does not do away with justice. That is not the way of the Lord. And it has not to do with a man that is able to pay. But congregation, it has to do with a man that is not able to pay. Because there are so many transgressions that we cannot pay. But now that man that would pay, oh, that would pay to his fellow man, and that would like to add a fifth part thereto, then you can be sure, congregation, that is felt. That is felt. And then it is so easy, to forgive one another their trespasses. Oh, that the Lord may give it to each and every one of us, that it may be experienced in the midst of us. Oh, ask the Lord to show us, congregation, our debt. Soon we have to stand before that creditor that needs to be paid before we stand before him. Oh, ask the Lord to show unto you your need for that ram, that need for that ram, that he may take away all our own ability. Oh, ask the Lord to show unto you him who has restored that which he took not away. For whom? For those who are not able to pay their debts. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, do teach us out of thy word that need we cannot give to ourselves for the first or by renewal. But thou can give it unto us. Give us to mourn for our sin, that it may be a heavy burden, and that we are not able to bear. And that thy dear Son, as thou revealest him to us in thy word, may become so necessary, so precious, and so suitable. And wilt thou then forgive all our transgressions? And wilt thou receive us graciously? Bring us safely home with desire in thy house in this afternoon, helping him that will go before us. And wilt thou be in our midst in mercy as one that serveth. For Jesus' sake, amen. 4:46, 2 and 4. If thou shouldst mark transgressions, O Lord, who then could stand? For evil and oppression are found on every hand. But thou dost pardon fully all our iniquity, that we may serve thee truly and fear thy majesty. 2 and 4 of 446. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.